Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Let's hear more from the people. 410-583-1057. Ravens lose the Lions 38-30. They're 1-2. Chiefs on Sunday.
Bone is efforting DaCosta stylist, so we're hoping to make that happen before the next primetime game.
He's got much better.
I'm dying to know what he's going to wear at Arrowhead.
I can't wait
for the ensemble.
This is coming from a guy.
I'm guessing he burned the Men in Black cosplay outfit. That'd be my guess.
I know nothing.
Yeah, let's go out to the phone lines, fellas. Joe's in Woodbury. Joe, you're on the fan.
What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's up, Ladlin? Hey, Jason, I love you, man, because you seem to be always right. But,
well, I'm not.
Hey, man, I've been mad at the Ravens ever since it seemed like they gave my man a forced retirement, because to me, he's the only one ever drafted any of the players that's going to ever wear a jacket. And he drafted, in his last draft, he bested the best player the Ravens have ever had. But you're right about letting another coach coach the defense, man. It's DaCosta, man. He bought all the groceries,
yes,
and he been buying the basement bargain groceries. That's all I got to say, man. I'm running hot.
Yeah, I appreciate the call.
Got a little long in the tooth.
Someone Bill Parcells buying the groceries. Yeah,
John, but man, he looked great.
John did hire Zach Orr.
Man, red carpet.
You brought this up last week.
Looked amazing.
Let's go to Mark in and out.
I mean, you usually don't see that much of an NFL GM in a primetime game.
I didn't see it,
Man, glowing.
Mark's in Annapolis. Mark, you're on the fan.
I think we ought to give DaCosta and Bisciotti a game ball. The only thing that hasn't changed in this program is John Harbaugh. How many years does a Super Bowl get you? That was 2012 or 13 that we
2012.
Won?
It was the February of 2013.
And we're continually running to the playoffs and falling out of it. And everybody talks about the groceries that are being bought. You can't tell me that Harbaugh isn't in the grocery store when they're buying the groceries.
Here's the thing, though, Jason. You can speak to this and appreciate the call. Didn't John, he's not involved
he
in that.
He took the money.
Yes. Yeah.
Didn't get the power.
You reported this at the time, correct?
So, well, I mean, they have division of separation of church and state.
Yeah.
Now, certainly his voice carries with
yes,
the owner.
Yes.
But they've got things set up a certain way, and Eric is in charge of the players. He would say, well, I try to, favor the whims of the coaches and give them people who fit the scheme, and I factor all that in. But that's his domain. And Harbs is in charge of the coaches, except they're always firing coaches, but I never see anything. They make any moves in the personnel department? I mean, Ortiz, people get jobs elsewhere.
Yeah, Ortiz went to the Chargers. They look good.
They're constantly changing out linebackers coaches and secondary coaches and coordinators. But it seems
they
like
they had a good secondary coach
like,
a couple years
like
ago.
Like Eric and the same guys. And they might lose an analyst here or there, but you don't see anybody being made to walk the plank over there. Not on that side of the building.
No, not that I'm aware of.
Because they've got the best roster in the league.
Hey, guess who's on hold? He's
Bobby DePaul.
I wish it was Bobby DePaul. No offense to Trippy, but I miss Bobby D. But Trippy went viral.
I ran into him last night. Again.
I ran into him. Unfortunately, I was on the phone, but I did get a quick hug with Trippy. Trippy, you're on the fan.
Hey, what's going on with y'all, man?
Have you recovered from yelling at Marlon Humphrey?
Yeah, man. I ain't mean to do it, bro, but it's sad, man. Then he go right on the podcast, man. Like, he ain't serious, man. He not serious. But this defense, man, I got to admit, they trash. I don't know what's going on. Like, what's going on with the defense?
They're bad.
Like, what's going on? And look, I just thought about it, right? Is it just me, right? I be watching other teams practice. like during training camp, I see the linebackers and running backs, they really going at each other, tackling. When I go to training camp, I don't ever see that. 20 missed tackles last night. 20 missed tackles. That is sad, man. Then the offensive line, I ain't even got to talk about the offensive line. If Patrick Ricard don't hurry up and come back, man, hey, we in trouble. And another thing, if this defense play like that Sunday again, I don't know. I might be wrong, but I think somebody going to be gone.
Trippy, appreciate the call. By the way, he mentioned the offensive line. According to PFF, the Ravens gave up 30 pressures last night. 3-0, Jason. 30 pressures.
Yeah, comprehend. I mean, some of the film was still being graded this morning, but they had Rosengarten like beat. True Media had him beat 6 times alone. They had him giving up 6 hurries and 5 pressures himself.
Oofa. Yeah. Back out to the phone lines. JP, you're on the fan. JP.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
It's all Eric's fault. When he has a first-round draft pick on the defensive side of the ball, it's all DBs. Unlike his mentor, who drafted a guy who I still consider the all-time sack leader in college football, every year of production at the D1 level, that other caller brought up T.J. Watt and Myles Garrett, production every year at the D1 level, going up against guys you're going to see on Sundays. You 2 games against 2 statues, and you get a sack against the 40-year-old one, and you're going to do something against Squeaky, who can make plays with his legs?
Why do you call him Squeaky? That's interesting to me.
Who's Squeaky?
I'm guessing Jared Goff.
Squeaky is Mr. Kansas City.
Oh, Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, Kermit the Frog. Do you have a nickname for Jared Goff?
Patrick Mahomes isn't a statue.
On the other side of the ball, they had a guy. Hello?
Yeah, we're listening. Trust me, you've got us a rap show. Yeah, now. I want to know what you call Jared Goff.
Kansas City drafted a guy who had production every year at the D1 level and threw money at him in the offseason because they know how good he is.
You're saying Karlaftis.
Eric refuses to do that. I wanted Karlaftis. Yeah. He looked good.
We had him on the show.
Yeah, I remember hearing it, guys. He refuses to do that, and DBs can only cover so long. So a statue that is not off his mark, Jared Goff, can have time for one of his receivers to leak out, and you get what you got last night.
I mean, Owe had no sacks in college, but he had metrics.
Yes, he did, and he got 2 quarterbacks.
He had metrics.
No sacks in his last.
Hey, Jason, you know who's on hold? We haven't heard from him in a while. Matt's in Maine.
It must be really bad.
Yeah.
He's we got fall foliage. It's lobster season up there. It must be really bad.
Listen, guys, I am in a boom lift working on my house right now, I stopped what I was doing because I was like, okay, the silence has gone on long enough. I must call the 3 gentlemen just to vent this thing.
Please do.
So,
before we get started, how great did Eric look last night?
Jason, this is why you get your flowers, because I woke up, I turned it off last night when I watched EDC basically tripping over himself because he's the only guy in the stadium wearing sunglasses at night.
Mm-hmm.
When he goes over and decides to basically, I mean, is he a music executive now? I'm trying to figure out what is his role. He goes over to Marlon to tap him on the shoulder pads when Marlon absolutely just got smoked on a double move. And I'm just thinking, like, no wonder this thing is falling apart. I'm going to call quick on this because
that's totally normal behavior. That's totally normal NFL behavior.
Completely inappropriate behavior. Absolutely inappropriate behavior.
But he looked great.
Jason,
God,
you know all the
so ready for the catwalk. Work it, baby.
You know the minutia of the NFL, and there's a specific rule called the 5-year rule that if a head coach / quarterback doesn't reach a Super Bowl in the first 5 years, they never have. Like, literally, they never have. It's a statistic that you can study out. It's an amazing statistic, but it's a true statistic nonetheless. Here's the thing. Harbaugh has been given almost 2 5-year runs with Lamar. Like, we literally are coming up on almost a decade. We're almost running out of Lamar's 20s and going into Lamar's 30s. The question I have is, at what point does the organization become the organization that literally squandered the most talented player in NFL history? If the guy is the all-time leading rusher at quarterback, and he's now leading in QBR at quarterback, and he's never even reached a Super Bowl, and he's not going to reach a Super Bowl because the statistics for this organization
didn't Peyton Manning do it?
I thought it was year 7 or year 8 when Peyton got to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think Peyton Manning did it, but not many.
Not many. And the thing is the 5 year, and here's the other thing, a two-time MVP under center with the same guy not reaching a Super Bowl, John Harbaugh is the only guy that owns that title.
It should have been three.
Guys, yeah. I could just rant on this one, but I'll hang up and listen, man.
No,
love
look,
of you, though.
The problem the is the owner has let everybody know, one day I'm going to sell the team. Until I do, when's the last time the owner held anybody publicly accountable? Is it, we going 7-8 years?
I think it was right before Lamar. So it was 2017, yeah. 2018.
So, I mean, what are they, like, what do they have?
I just told Cameron you, under fire?
That was going way back.
Nobody gets fired in the personnel side. Nobody gets reassigned. Yeah. There's nothing. Everybody just gets raises and promotions. And they keep filtering out assistant coaches. But they let some really good coaches leave the building, and some you could have prevented, and some you probably could. And I put that on everyone. But like, you guys think it's like, you think I'm joking, but like, I guarantee you the vibe there after a loss when Dick Cass was running the team versus now, because Bisciotti's not in there every day. It was Dick Cass's building, and now you can push back. You can pretend it's not. Ask your rich friends. Why? I mean, it's Sashi. It's Sashi's building. It's Sashi's building.
Ask your Richies.
Think that culture there is cutthroat and all about winning, or do you think it's, well, we get to do what we want to do? I mean, they've been building their team the same way for 5-6 years now, and they keep running in the same potholes, and we call the potholes. We say, there's the pothole. And they refuse to acknowledge it. And what changes?
Hey, for the record, I will tell you. So, number one, we will take calls again later. But I was in the Wyman industry seats last night, and I come out from there. They have this incredible lounge, Jason. Where
they do.
Where all
is that
stuff,
in the Black Lung?
Not the Black Wing. This is these field. Dennis has field seats. And they're ridiculous. They're absolutely ridiculous. And I come out from getting they have anything you want to eat, basically, and you just grab it. And I come back out, and Dennis says, did you see what had just happened? I said, no. He says, I just saw Sashi. And Sashi came
he
up
knows,
and said hi to me.
Knows,
Sashi said hi.
He knows.
I
he said, can play I the game. It. He's a politician.
I missed it.
He knows who to hobnob with. It's his building.
Hobnob. Yeah, yeah.
It's his culture. Good. Steve's on a yacht off the coast of Florida somewhere.
Yeah, but it's pretty. It's an interesting view of the field.
It's the best roster, ever, probably.
We will take calls coming up, but coming up next is T-Bone Time, TMI with TAM. What you got?
Yeah, we'll continue to break down this game, but look at a couple specific areas in which the Ravens, especially offensively, were great in last year, where this year, not so much. Can they correct it? We'll tell you next on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
T-Bone Time, TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
Ravens offense was excellent in so many categories last year, but especially in the red zone, where they were first in the red zone offense, second in yards per play in the red zone. Lamar, spectacular, completed over 70% of his passes, 32 of his 45 completions were touchdowns from the 20 in. From the 10 in, 18 of his 19 completions were for touchdowns. But this year, the red zone offense, I know it's only three games, it does not look the same at all. They're 17th in red zone offense, 32nd in yards per play, and this still blows me away. The Ravens' average yards per play in the red zone is -0.2 yards. negative 0.2 yards. It's hard to comprehend, but they've had a lot of weird and wacky plays.
Yeah.
The Justice Hill fumble in Buffalo week one. Lamar had the fumble in which they lost significant yardage in both of those plays. But it was also, they had the situation where they were at the one-yard line last night, and they couldn't punch it in with Derrick Henry. And Henry's averaging 1.2 yards per carry less this year in the red zone than last year. And I think a lot of that, guys, is really, you're missing Pat Ricard in those
sure.
situations, in those short yardage situations where...
And the line stinks.
Yes, that as well. Sixth worst pressure rate allowed this year. And the offense is going to be under a microscope, and when they get those opportunities, they have to convert them into touchdowns. And last year, defensively, they were middle of the pack, at 14th in red zone defense, where this year they're 28th in red zone defense, 28th in pressure rate in red zone situations. They're allowing the second most rushing yards over expected, but they got to be better in both of those areas. Where this defense, they have no calling card. They have nothing that they can hang their hat on right now. If they were good on third down, they weren't good on third. Like, they're not good in the red zone. They're not good anywhere right now. And offensively, you're scoring a lot of points. They've scored, 111 points. It's the most amount of points a team in NFL history has had to this point with a losing record. But the pressure just continues to ratchet up when you know how bad the defense is. So they got to figure out these red zone woes and the Derrick Henry pass attempt. That was a
weird play.
I
think they've gotten cute with their play calling.
Yeah. But not having that sledgehammer in Ricard.
Are you surprised they didn't do the Andrews tush push down there at the goal line? Like, instead they did a weird...
About someone who doesn't do that often fumbling.
I just feel like they're telling us they don't trust this line, like, to do a power football.
I mean, I just kind of feel like if you boot Lamar out, the worst thing that happens is he throws it out of the back of the end zone. But I
also think something that's very troubling as well, and you can look at that fourth down play where Lamar didn't even throw it up for grabs in the end zone, ended up losing
fumbling.
The ball. That was the first time in a while where you could tell Lamar did not trust that offensive line. And I think
I don't know that he trusts some of the play calls either.
And I think there were times where he was holding the ball a little too long, trying to do too much. And it kind of really brought me back, guys, to, what was it, 2021 with Villanueva and how horrible the offensive line was, where you saw a lot of those type of plays out of Lamar.
That was $8 million well spent, Jason.
And part of that is what makes him special, because he is able to make things out of nothing, but not so much last night. A lot of negative plays.
I'm just going to say this.
Yes, sir.
If last year it wasn't that they had the greatest offensive line, it was that the Derrick Henry Lamar thing was unstoppable. Mm-hmm. Then, like, it's the same offensive line minus one guard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the idea that now the
is
offensive
possible,
line
though,
is holding him back.
Rosengarten has regressed. Like, he metrically,
I mean, I think
good.
It's possible that they really miss Pat Ricard. But I also think it's possible that the guy's a 31-year-old running back with 3,500 carries who really needs a lot of things to be perfect for him to do, not what he did last year, but to do what he did his last year in Tennessee. And I'm not sure all those things are going to be perfect last year. And they had a magic carpet ride last year from an injury standpoint and from a catching the league by storm standpoint. And now everybody's had a whole offseason to focus on it. And it's a pass league. And I'm just telling you, I think they're going to have to be throwing more on early downs. And if you're doing that, I don't know that Derrick Henry's the premier guy, the preferred guy you'd want on the field.
We've talked a lot about this game. We'll continue talking a lot about this game, and we'll take more of your calls coming up. But let's take calls at 4:15, Jason, because people are holding. But coming up next, Charles Davis, CBS, NFL Network. What did he think of the Ravens? Does he think they can fix it? He joins us next here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Ravens lose 38-30. They take on Kansas City on Sunday. The loser will be 1-3. Let's talk some football now as we head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. You can find Charles Davis calling games for CBS with Andrew Catalan, and he joins us now. And Charles, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. There were some that thought the Ravens might be the best team in the NFL coming into the season. They sit at 1-2, and they did. Frankly, defensively, they did not look good at all last night. What did you think about this Ravens team?
Yeah, I mean, I felt the same way. Like, as you talked about, there was a big talk going into the season. Could this be the best team in the NFL? And I thought, why not? I still think the Eagles roster is the best roster in the NFL. But we all know what it's like being a defending champion, right? So rarely do you say teams are going to repeat. So you're looking for that next team. The Ravens, let's just keep it in the AFC, right? Chasing Kansas City, who would it be this year? And I've said this from the time we watched the first half of the Super Bowl. Everyone who was going to get a shot at Kansas City the next year would be emboldened. Even if they didn't have the Eagles roster, watching that decimation made people bold. Okay? Hey, maybe this is our chance to go get them. Buffalo, Baltimore, out west, the Chargers, Denver. You see where I'm going with this? Houston coming into the season was a clear favorite in the AFC South. I thought the same thing. My biggest issues with Baltimore now, you mentioned the defense. This wasn't the first game that it's been like this, but to have those types of drives from deep in their own territory, Detroit just taking it downfield, that's definitely cause for concern. And the second part about it is very simply, Detroit has that ability to go anywhere and not worry about being out-physicaled, which is something Baltimore normally does to people.
Charles, focusing on the pass rush, or lack thereof, because they weren't even close to getting after Jared Goff. It was very similar week one at Buffalo, and now Kyle Van Noy, he's expected to miss multiple weeks. Nnamdi Matabike, he was out last night with a neck injury. I can't imagine that's a short-term thing.
Right.
Just how concerned are you about this pass rush for the defense?
Well, always concerned. One thing I have figured out about Baltimore over the years is that they tend to figure things out a matter of when, not if, okay? And so they tend to do that. The second part about it is, if I want to mitigate it a little bit, and I know that drives people crazy because they just want to see the results. Week one, that was Deion Dawkins and Spencer Brown, who are Pro Bowl caliber. Like, Brown's not a Pro Bowl guy yet, but he's a caliber of it, being a pass, offensive tackle. And then this week, it was Taylor Decker and Penei Sewell. Same type of guy. Sewell's one of the best tackles in the game. So you're going up against some guys who are pretty darn good. We shall see. But guys they've spent draft capital on have to really produce. Where's Adafe Owe? Right? Mm-hmm. Somebody like that you've drafted in the first round. Matabike is much more of an interior type guy that will wreck you. Yeah, he can come off the edge. But you need the guys like Owe that you put that capital in who can make those types of plays and have some suddenness. Let's just be honest about it, guys. Kyle Van Noy, I even remember this, and I can't remember the exact game, but I was on a crew that we did the game that Kyle Van Noy signed that week and played almost the entire game, right?
It's crazy.
We went through that like 2 years in a row because the year before it was JPP. Who got signed on like a Wednesday or a Thursday and played like 60 plays on Sunday.
Yeah.
This is what happens in Baltimore. But Kyle Van Noy, when he got signed at that time, was he signed to be a double-digit sack guy?
No, sir.
No, he'd never done it.
No.
Right? No, not at all. So when you're going through what you're going through right now, and remember what we're talking about here, we're saying, when will Kyle Van Noy get back? Wow. That's not something you're supposed to be talking about. Like, he's got to come rescue us as a pass rusher. Other guys need to step up.
Is there any chance, Charles, and I know it's early,
but we've seen some things from Derrick Henry that look out of character, the fumbles, the flipping out on the sideline, a little bit of tippy toe stuff. Father Time is undefeated. Is there any chance that he's a little more mortal this year than he was a year ago? And there's no Ricard. And the offensive line might be a little leakier.
Yeah, look, you're more mortal every year you're in the league. We know that. That sounds trite, and I don't mean for it to. But we know that that's true. I think the issue is he sure didn't look mortal in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Until the fumble.
Yeah.
Right? But now you've had back-to-back games where the ball's been popped free. And really, when he went to the sidelines, it started like rage, but it ended up in abject confusion.
Yeah.
And I really think he just cannot figure out what the heck is going on. Okay? I'll tell you a quick one, guys. You remember the name Joe Washington?
Absolutely. Sure.
Played for the Colts.
Yeah. And for the Redskins.
Yeah.
Right? Little Joe.
Yes.
Right?
Loved him.
Fighting player. Right? He told me when he was at Oklahoma, he was playing on the freshman squad. That's back when freshmen weren't eligible, right? Chuck Fairbanks was the head coach. Barry Switzer was the offensive coordinator. And Joe said that he had a habit of carrying the ball not tight, you know, high and tight to the body, but he'd carry it pretty loose, and he'd be out there, he'd do a lot of stuff with it, the whole thing. He said he was just cutting through the varsity. All right? He said, remember how talented we were at Oklahoma? Our freshman team was really good. He said we were just blowing through the varsity defense. He said I was breaking off 30, 40, 50-yard runs. And he said, and Chuck Fairbanks get madder and madder and madder. And he said, finally, one day I got out in the open field and I broke it, blah, blah, blah. And he came over and he wasn't mad. He didn't yell at the defense. He yelled at me. Joe Washington, you got to carry the ball tight. You know, six places of pressure, blah, 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 blah. He went through the whole thing, how you carry the ball. I don't want to ever see that ball out there loose again, yada, yada, yada. Gets back to the huddle. And Barry Switzer's just steaming. Like, I can remember. And he said, I didn't know why Coach was so upset. Very next play, I'm trying to listen to Coach Fairbanks. I carry the ball with me. I tuck it as hard as I can. He said, and I'll be darned, I break out in open field again. And I've got that thing. He said, I was squeezing it so hard. And the thing, it just dropped out. He said, I think he probably thought I was trying to show him up. I was not. I just tried so hard that the ball popped out. And he said, Chuck Fairbanks started to get all over me again. And I got back to the huddle and he's yelling at me. And finally, Barry Switzer just stopped him and said, Chuck, will you let that blankety-blank just carry the ball how he wants to and leave him alone? And he said, I've never had another problem with him. The reason I give you that story is I don't think Derrick Henry needs to be in a position where he is overthinking this. Mm-hmm. He's got to just get back to whatever the fundamentals are about carrying the football, understand situations. See, the Ed Oliver one was more of a situation. Yards was not the issue. Time was. So just protect the football. Doesn't matter whether you get yards or anything at that point, right? Let the clock go. Let it do it. But he had it as a normal deal. Oliver punched it out. Now you've had the last 2 weeks where these have been punched out on him. Is there a different way to do it, what have you? Yeah, probably. But at the same time, if he starts overthinking it, then he doesn't run. It's the old Yogi Berra. How can I hit and think at the same time? Right?
Yeah.
Yogi may not have been what you'd call an Oxford scholar, but those Yogi-isms made a lot of sense when you broke them down. That's where it is with Derek. I don't think Father Time has gotten him yet. I think that right now he's in the circumstances of what we call a bad jag, and I have a feeling he's going to work his way out of it.
Charles, before we let you go, Ravens Chiefs Sunday, the loser goes to 1-3 on the season. Just curious. And the Chiefs have won 5 of 6 from the Ravens since Lamar Jackson took over as quarterback.
Yeah, but it does feel – remember what I said in the beginning. Everyone feels like they take a shot at Kansas City this year. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get them, but now's the time. Remember, they're still somewhat shorthanded, right? The receiving core that they want is not there. Right, you've got an offensive line that's still trying to get it together. Sewell Mateo, he's got to be able to play guard. You know, Juwan Taylor is still struggling at right tackle. You see where I'm going with all this? This is an opportunity, right? Again, that's out there, but you still have to go seize it. I know how this game is going to be built. It's going to be built like the best pro wrestling match you've ever heard. Loser leaves town on this one. I'm just going to tell you now, loser does not leave town on this one. Okay. Especially Kansas City out in the AFC West. I think that they have a chance to get right out there. Baltimore in their division caught a break with Cincinnati. Pittsburgh's not going to run away from you. And Cleveland, despite being beating Green Bay, do you really believe they're contenders?
Mm-mm. No.
No. So it's going to look bad, whoever leaves town with a loss on this one on Sunday. I don't think it's as dire because of the talent of these two teams as it would be in other situations. That's just my own personal belief.
Charles Davis, you're the best, man. Thank you so much for your
Thanks,
time,
buddy.
As always.
Hey, great talking with you guys. You take care of yourselves, okay?
You too,
brother.
Thanks
so much. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Hey, before we step out, 410-583-1057, you want to win two tickets to see Seether and Daughtry on October 12th at Pier 6. 410-583-1057. You win two tickets to see Seether and Daughtry October 12th at Pier 6, and you get to talk about Wade Ben. Also, just an update, Northern Exposure coming up next. We'll check in with the two Ohio teams, Cincinnati and Cleveland, and their week that was. We'll hear from Zach Taylor and Joe Flacco. Jonah Schaefer from the Baltimore Banner joins us at 4 o'clock to talk Ravens. 4:15, we're taking your calls. That's here on The Fan.
You can't go on the road and have four first-half turnovers, two for touchdowns. I know I said that last night. It sounds like a broken record, but I just see a big old 5-0 in the turnover margin, which led to a lot of that. So really never give ourselves an opportunity to have momentum, have confidence when every bit of momentum you get is then taken away. It's tough. And so, again, I thought sequencing in the first half, the defense gave up a touchdown on the first drive, and then they got some three and outs, held them to a field goal in a short year, short field. So there were some positive things. It was far from perfect. There's a lot of things we got to clean up. Offensively, there's a lot we got to clean up as well.
So that's Zach Taylor in the aftermath of the Bengals' 48-10 loss at Minnesota, a game in which Isaiah Rodgers scored two defensive touchdowns. This game was one-way traffic pretty early, and Jake Browning is not Joe Burrow, but he actually played decent football a couple years ago.
Well, yeah. I still think they're going to be able to throw the ball. This was just a perfect storm. I needed 30 more passing yards out of that guy. I only had it at 170. That thing was so out of hand. He didn't play the fourth quarter.
It was Ryan Ripken
time. Well, five. You lose five possessions on takeaways. Yeah. That's going to cost you.
Absolutely.
I need 30 yards for a nice, juicy parlay. What we're not talking enough about is the Bengals' defense is not any good.
No.
Like, people were trying to give them, you know, flowers for, you know, what they did against Jacksonville and what they did against Cleveland. Those are two pretty inept offenses. With limited quarterbacks. So I think there's problems for them defensively and their injury report. You know, Taylor Britt banged up, Stewart banged up. I don't think Hendrickson is in football shape. But yeah, I also don't think they're going to lose the turnover battle by five every week. But they've got, you know, a pretty wounded Denver team now on Monday Night Football.
What's happened to Bo Nix, Jason?
I think he sped up. I don't like his footwork. He looks hyper to me. The run game is still a little scattershot. You know, Dobbins got better as this game went on, but I don't know. He looks skittish to me. So they've got some things to figure out in Denver, but like the Bengals aren't a lot of trouble here. Like they really needed that to be a supreme offense to remotely hold up that defense. And it's not going to be that. They've got to run the ball more than they are, but I don't know how effective that's going to be. Cause it looks like a really bad offensive line to me.
And it's a brutal 3-week stretch. Yeah. They're in at Denver, then host the Lions at Green Bay. It's not getting easier with the schedule.
No, and that's why I go back to, are we really going to see Joe Burrow at the end of the season?
No.
Are they really going to propagate this charade like the Orioles are doing? I don't know why the Orioles are doing this with Adley, but whatever.
We'll get a week out of him. Maybe he'll learn some good positive lessons for next year.
Maybe he'll rip up this quad again. Hey. And so, like, now we can't trade him because he'll be hurt all off.
You want to be pessimistic? I'm the opposite.
I just live in the real world. Whatever. Oh, oblique is worse than quad.
Yeah,
I meant to say core. Yeah. I was thinking more like core muscle.
Oh, no. Oh, I gotcha. Yeah.
But I said quad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's shame on me.
Yeah. Hey, let's go to a guy who never tears anything, and that's Joe Flacco, who the Browns coming off.
Does Flacco wear sunglasses at night?
He might.
He could pull it off.
But Joe Flacco talks about their win over Green Bay.
Just do your job. Like you've it's been hard, but you've stuck to it all day and just done the simple things, done your job each play. Continue to do that and have faith that everything else is going to take care of itself and we're going to get an opportunity. And that's what happened. You know, I think we got a bunch of tough-minded guys in that locker room, and you know, when you're out there on the field with them throughout the course of 60 minutes, you're proud and you can hold your head up high to be out there with those types of guys. So
charismatic Joe Flacco.
He's fired up. Yeah. Great job there, Beltway Ben on the Wheels of Steel, finding these clips. I thought twice he was going to cuss there.
Well, he cursed
with us. I thought twice we were going to get beeps.
Yeah.
Joe. Big win for the Cleveland Brownies.
And how about Miles
What a
week-to-week
league. I mean, it's cliche, but it's real.
Yeah, a week ago, everybody's the Green Bay's going undefeated. Like, they got Micah Parsons now.
Throw the Lions in the mix, too. Oh, it's Green Bay's division. They're going to
week
Green Bay
strutting on
the
sidelines pregame like Ric Flair rocking sunglasses at night.
Yeah.
The next, you might not be found anywhere at Arrowhead.
Mm.
Might be way deep undercover.
So,
I don't know.
The division,
just saying.
Division's weird. The Bengals are 2-1. The Steelers are 2-1. Ravens and Browns both 1-2 as we enter week 4 of the National Football League.
Could it be that this division is a little like some recent AL East vintages, and it's a little janky, a little more fugazi, than it's given credit for?
Doesn't look great right now, that's for damn sure.
Are you feeling what I'm putting down, Bone?
I'm picking up. Who's
the one who smelt it, dealt it?
Oh, wow. Hey. Coming up next, by the way, we're going to take your calls at 415-410-583-1057, but Jonas Schaefer covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner. He was there last night. What did he think about the Ravens' performance, and is it fixable? We'll ask Jonas next here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.